When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. A little part two or part one, depending on what order you listen to it in. A little more Bills recap from yesterday, and we'll start to preview some of the playoff picture for the Jets, joined by draft expert, but also, probably one of the most level-headed people at Turn on the Jets, Michael Meegan. Meegs, how we doing?
Good. You know, like I said, it's a tough to lose two games in a row. It's actually wild to say that this is the first time they've lost two games in a row all season, which I didn't even like realize at first because I just put Ravens and Bengals together, but I forgot about Cleveland was in between it. But like I said, the loss sucked yesterday, but the Jets still have a good chance to make the playoffs. They have, I think, four teams that they're frankly better than on their schedule. So feel pretty good, you know, can't really complain.
Yeah, look, I said this a little earlier, and I'll kind of repeat it here, and I've said it on, you know, every single show I've been on today. But look, I think anyone in their right mind was not picking the Jets on Sunday. I think people, you know, they were the second biggest underdog throughout the entire NFL, you know, slate, yesterday. And it felt like, I don't know, I just felt like they did a better job than I think many people were expecting. And I think what's happened with this team is, even the most impossible games that it feels like you go into and they rope you in for four quarters. And that's not something that we've seen from Jets teams in the past. That's not something we've seen, you know, frankly, in a really long time. And, yesterday's a game that had all the makings of, you know, I know a lot of people pointed out, you know, 34-7 because Mike White goes down, Q goes down, Corey Davis goes down, Fant goes down. It's 20-7 or whatever it was. And you're like, oh boy, this isn't going to be pretty. And, you know, the Jets are, you know, two or three plays away from, you feel like saying like we might've been the better team. What was your kind of overall takeaway of yesterday's game? And then we'll kind of get in more specifically the quarterback and a few other things.
I mean, yesterday's game, I think a lot of people have been like waiting for the Bills to have like their statement, like blowout game against a really good team, because this team was like the Super Bowl favorite going into the season. They hadn't played in Buffalo in I think over a month because they had the weird Detroit situation when they play the Browns. Then they were in New England and then in Detroit on Thanksgiving. So I think a lot of people and were expecting like a big, like, Bills offensive juggernaut performance. And when you see all the Jets injuries, that became even more likely. But like what this team does is like when you think they are going to fold, they never do. And that's really what's the most admirable thing about this team. My biggest takeaway from this season is that I just love this coaching staff, because I really think from the coordinators to the head coach, even the position coaches, that they're really like locked in with this group. And they really believe that every Sunday they have a chance. And I don't think they've really been blown out this season. I think Bengals game and then the Ravens at the end are like the two ones you can really point to, but they're in every game. This defense gives them a chance to win every week. Mike White is making big throws, like seems like more and more each week, so much so that like these were his, I think, two toughest tests with Minnesota and Buffalo back to back. And, you know, he didn't turn back into the pumpkin we saw last year. So I think you got to feel at least pretty confident that the Jets have a good shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I do too. Look, I think, like I said yesterday, three plays obviously really stand out. The Flacco fumble, which that the three Flacco plays did enough that Zach will probably be active this week. I think that's how bad they were. They were disheartening. It was what we kind of expected. And I think everyone kind of saw the writing on the wall there. He's had a great career. I'm not trying to bash the guy, but it's time. the Michael Carter fumble is the killer. I don't know about you. I mean, I know we were texting back and forth about it, but 20-9, Jets driving, 6-7 minutes to go, rolling down the field. Mike White's Willis Reed coming out of the locker room. Michael Carter fumbles. Do you feel like that's the difference in the game? Because I feel like they score there. I would have been shocked if they lost that football game.
It was very disheartening in the fact that, like, that was Michael Carter's best run of the day by, like, far. And you were just like, oh, wow, even he hit a hole, and he probably actually showed the burst that, like, looked like, oh, maybe he isn't as hurt as I thought. And then it was just like, it wasn't like he was being lackadaisical. It's just like, it was a good play by the Bills, and they made it. Good teams make that play. It's a good punch out. Sometimes you have to tip your cap. But that really did feel like that the real deciding point, that just they were just going to run out of time. And the thing about the Bills that I think all NFL fans can see, and are probably why people aren't, if you're not 100% in on the Bills, is that they really can't run out the clock because they can't run the ball, besides really with Josh Allen. And how many times do you really want your quarterback doing that? So I really think when you get them in that position, if the Jets really got that touchdown and then it was like that one score game with like 5-6 minutes to go, and Mike White didn't have, like, you know, a minute to go the entire length of the field with no timeouts, if you actually gave him more time and do like a proper 2-minute drill, I do think the Jets, how they performed in the fourth quarter, you would be crazy not to back them this year. So that fumble really did hurt, and it sucks, but it's also like the Jets offense unfortunately did nothing in the first half, and that's really where that game was lost. My biggest, like, the game I always, the thing I think about, the Flacco was terrible. I have no interest in watching Zach play again this season, but, like, if you're going to need, like, a warm body to not just to hand the ball off, like, put him in over Flacco. Where this game was really lost to me was when this was the early, I think it was either the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. Defense did a great job pinning the Bills in their own end zone. You get a bad punt. Berrios returns it. The drive starts in the Bills' territory, and they get -9 yards on the drive. And that was just like, that's going to come back to bite you. You can't do that against a team like Buffalo. And when you lose a game by one possession, when you also turn the ball over twice in Bills territory, you know, like, it's really hard to win.
Yeah, look, you mentioned that. That's one of the plays that I would flag is Mike White's, where he struggled yesterday. Two times felt like pressure got there, the rollouts or pressure got there, and just didn't get rid of the football in time. And yes, obviously it's nicer for him to eat that instead of, you know, doing something stupid, but it did take them out of a potential drive. And, you know, that the first quarter penalties, it feels like the early in the game, they can't seem to get started, whether it's illegal formations, holdings, false starts. It's usually a lot of pre-snap penalties, which is, that's got to get cleaned up. This coaching staff does a tremendous job of adjusting the second half. They're one of the best, if not the best, second half and fourth quarter teams of football. That said, you know, again, I know we're bouncing around here, but my biggest two criticisms of Michael Flohr would be, I don't know that his opening scripts are as good as his second half adjustments. And as good as his second half adjustments are, I would like to see, feels like a little earlier on in the game, kind of, you know, pass to set up the run. It feels like would might be a better strategy for this team than trying to set up the run early on. It just feels like that's not something they're doing a great job of. It feels like later on in games, they wear teams down and then they're able to run the football. And obviously the red zone stuff was better yesterday, but just not a lot of chances. The 3rd and 2 obviously hurts. But, you know, you mentioned that drive. Obviously, I kind of describe the C.J. Mosley penalty as this. First of all, C.J. Mosley was exceptional yesterday, one of his best games as a Jet. I don't know what about the Bills it is, but he plays his best football when he plays Buffalo. Outside of that one play, I'm not sure there was a better player on the field other than Quinnen Williams from the Jets defense. As good as Sauce was and Reed and all these guys, like, CJ was awesome yesterday. But I will say this about the fourth down play, and then I want your thoughts on it. I just don't think the risk reward was worth it. I understood the idea. I get it. I know what he was trying to do. He's a smart football player. Almost sometimes you're too smart for your own good. That's all great. But if you make that play there, sure, the Jets have some momentum. Maybe they go score. The Bills punt. Same thing happens. You just have worse field position. If they get it, you still are fresh out of downs. The crowd's not, like, super into it. The one thing you can't do is a team that's on the ropes, not feeling good about their offense, is give them a momentum shifting penalty where you feel like you just look stupid. And to me, I just felt like the risk reward was just not worth it there. And as cool as that would have been, you know, that's the thing with highlight catches, you know, the one-handed catches, all these different things, the highlight level throw, the percentage it works a lot of times, the reason it doesn't happen a lot is because it doesn't usually work. And it just sucks because it tainted a game for CJ Mosley where he was one of the two or three best players on the field for the Jets. And, you know, that play obviously led to 7 points, which is the difference in the football game.
Yeah, I mean, that play, I'll be completely honest, when Dawson Knox went under center, I actually thought they were going to snap it.
Because... I did too, because I was like, oh, shit, like, here we go.
Smart yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, oh, my God, this is actually, like, a nice, like, good, like, wrinkle when you threw Ken Dorsey, and it worked. And like I said, CJ Mosley's a veteran. He's not the one who should be making that play, and it sucks. Also, I will give CJ Mosley a little bit of a pass for this fact that, like,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Calling prevent quarters, like the way they let the Bills march down the field, if you're calling that against any quarterback who's, like, worth the shit, like Josh Allen, even with his bad elbow, is still a really, really good quarterback. Like, you're just begging to get, like, give up that touchdown. I thought they got too, like, preventative, too cautious after that play. And, like, that touchdown itself, like, obviously the momentum is all on their side, but I thought they could have a better job at least trying to stay aggressive and just be in line with what they've been doing the entire half, which, like I said, like, which sucked. And then when LaFleur makes the second half adjustments and you get that really nice drive out of the second half where White makes two really big throws, especially the one to Berrios, which really felt like Berrios needed that one after it just felt like a really strange, like, six quarters for him. It's just, like I said, it's tough. Like, with LaFleur, I really liked your point about the opening script. I just think, like, it really shows with him, his best scripts are when they're passing it and they're using the pass to kind of set up the run. And I just don't think you can come out chucking the ball with the way the conditions were. And with this patchwork offensive line, they're kind of streaky in the run game where they really get the push or where they really not. And like Kyle Shanahan, like, wasn't the best script, like, coordinator. And I feel like LaFleur is still learning that aspect of the game. It's probably where he's weakest as a coordinator, as the Jets, I think they have just one touchdown on their opening drive this season. I think it's just the Bears game. But like I said, he's still working as a play caller. I still think it's more positive than negative with him. And now he's got four games against, I would say, below average defenses. I think Miami, when they're fully healthy, is probably a little around average, but the other three aren't really good defenses, and that the Jets should be scoring 25 points or more in all three of these, or at least four of these games.
Yeah, no, I'm fully in agreement. I made this point. I will make it again today. The punt coverage has been good. It's obviously other than the New England game. Braden Mann has got to change. I don't know what.
So bad.
It's not. I think people look at the distance sometimes on punts and go, oh, that's a good punt. Part of punting is also the hang time in which you create so your punt coverage team can get down there. The Jets have the best gunner in football. They have Brandon Echols, who's also an exceptional gunner. They have other guys in special teams who do a great job. Give your guys a chance. There was a few punts yesterday with the wind at his back. This was not going against the wind, where it was like, not only did he yank the punt to the left at every single time, but he also, it's also a line drive. That stuff cannot happen. You cannot be a team that relies on your defense and field position and lose field position consistently. And they haven't broken really any big returns all year in the kickoff game or in, or in the punt return game. So that would be one thing where the Jets need to improve on the next 4 weeks. If they get into the playoffs, which I think they will, we'll get into in a second. I just think that, you know, you're on the road in Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, wherever, Baltimore, wherever it is, likely, you're going to need one of those big plays to pop. And, you know, they have an all-pro level kicker, I guess, right now. I mean, he's not Justin Tucker, but he's been pretty damn good. And, you know, they've got a guy who's a former all-pro returner and a really good special teams coach. You'd like to see that improve. Obviously, they've blocked a few punts this year, which is in kicks, which has been massive. Kind of putting a bow on this game, Sauce Gardner, another game, gives up one catch for 6 yards. Are we at the point that he's probably an all-pro this year? Because it's starting to get, you know, he's starting to put up some games where it's like nobody's catching up. I mean, they held Stephon Diggs, who's a top five receiver in the league, to 34 yards. How special? I mean, I know this group's special, but, you know, Sauce Gardner in particular.
I mean, so like I said, Sauce has been fantastic. He's probably had the best rookie corner season I can remember. I think he's passed Lattimore and he's passed Marcus Peters, which are probably the two ones that stick out in the most recent years. Like, the thing, like, when you say, like that Sauce Gardner is an all-pro, and you're like, all right, you know, you're trying to think, like, Jets bias aside, but, like, what corner besides Sertan's really having a year like him? Like, Ramsey hasn't really been himself. Trey White was hurt. Lattimore, that Saints defense has been, like, hit or miss. Jair's missed time. Like, the guys you normally think about in
It's literally JC, PS2. Slay maybe and Bradbury.
I think one of the Eagles guys will probably get it because
one of the Eagles guys. Dominant. I think Sauce has been better overall than Horn, but Horn's been fantastic.
Yeah,
even Sertan. Like, the Broncos are 3-10, so like,
If you look at their if you look at how that defense has performed, like, I think they'd be like, I think 9-3 if their offense scored like 18 points in every game besides like in regulation, which is nuts. But I definitely think he's gonna be contending for one of those spots. He's definitely gonna be a Pro Bowler. I mean, Defensive Rookie of the Year isn't really a contest. Like, he's going to win in that. I know, like, Jets fans are getting bent out of shape about what Seattle fans are excited about. Woolen, like, look at the betting markets. Pretty sure Sauce Gardner is, like, minus 500. Like, I don't really think you have to worry about it.
Yeah, people need to relax. I think, you know, there's going to be multiple All-Pros the Jets have. Quinn Williams will be a first-team All-Pro.
Yep.
He's got the same amount of sacks as Chris Jones and, like, 130 less snaps, pass rush snaps, so, or whatever it is. So, it's special. Shout-out again to – you know, some of the TOJ pod favorites, Sheldon Rankins, Bryce Huff, those guys, they've been bringing it every single week. And, you know, there's a reason I stood on the table for those guys to be back here this year and play. And, you know, I feel pretty, you know, I'm not always right, but there are certain things I feel like I do get right. And that was one of them. Connor McGovern, also a big shout out. The guy should be one of the big priorities to be re-signed this year. It's been stable. He's durable. Does a good job. He's an average to above average league, you know, center in the league. And if you have a functional offensive line with your guys healthy, you know, the ABTs of the world, obviously, you know, Becton or whoever the other tackle will be, you know, McGovern's just the guy that gets the job done solid. So I want to quickly hit on next four games. I think 3-1 gets you in comfortably. I think 4-0, which I'm good with saying, like, they can win all four of these games. And I actually don't think, like, I think they might be the better team than all four of these teams. Like, I generally speaking about the whole roster. I guess everyone would point to Miami, sure, but the Jets match up great with Miami the way they match up with Buffalo. This team is built to beat Miami and Buffalo. Like, that's it's kind of the point of this roster. Seattle is struggling right now, and the defense is very soft, as good as Woolen is and some of these other guys. The defense is super soft, especially up front. They can get run all over. And then Geno Smith's been making a lot more of the Geno Smith that we all kind of knew. He's had a nice year, but he's starting to make some of those mistakes again. And Jacksonville, they're playing well. Florida team coming up north in December. Trevor Lawrence feels like very up and down, although he's been much better of recently. He's starting to look like the best player in that class, their best, you know, quarterback, which I think we all kind of knew was going to happen at some point. The Jets are just a better team, though. Soft defense for the Jaguars and, you know, Detroit. Jared Goff in cold weather is putrid. The Lions outside of the dome are not very good. They average like 18 points a game outside this year versus, you know, close to 30, I'm pretty sure, inside. The Jets are more better. They're better coached. They're also a better team on paper. Again, Lions soft, you know, soft defensively. And as much as I'm the ultimate Amon-Ra St. Brown fan, unless they're just going to feed him 35 targets, you know, which they might, I'm not really concerned about the Lions as much as everybody else is. Am I crazy to think 3-1, 4-0 could happen here? And the Jets not only might get in the playoffs, I can see them being, you know, a six or, you know, five or six seed, I guess, based on the way standings work out.
Yeah. I mean, the standings thing, it's really hard to say because I think the Chargers looking healthy. I think Joey Bosa is coming back next week. I think Derwin's only out for just that game, so he should be back. They got Mike Williams back, and you see how much when Herbert has Mike Williams and Keenan, how that's just a different team. So I don't know if they're going to be – whether they'll be the 5 or the 6 seed, but I do agree. I think they're going to win 3-1 or 4-0 and make the playoffs because I think once they get – like, there's not going to be 8 AFC teams with 10 wins, like – it's just not going to happen. I know a lot of people still, you know, the fears of 2015 happening again. And it's like winner get in against Miami. I don't think it's going to come down to that. If they win their next three games and just take care of business. Like I said, the Lions, it's not really more so it's Goff, because like we know it, Robert Saleh knows Jared Goff. He's 4-0 in his last four games against Jared Goff. Like, that's not going to surprise him. He even beat him twice when they had that 2020 Niners defense, which was incredibly injured. It's all about stopping that run game. Like, how Jared Goff, if Jared Goff has to live in third long, he's never going to be the EPA, the efficiency god that some people like to prop him up to be and think that he's responsible for the Lions' recent success. It's that offensive line, and Swift and Jamal Williams are two really nice running backs who complement each other well. So it's really just about the Jets' D-line. They have all these resources. They get paid the money. You know, they got to dominate a good offensive line, and the Lions' offensive line is good. I think the Jets can do that. I think MetLife's going to be buzzing. I think the Lions are a much different team on the road. If they win that game, and then they have the Jaguars, who on a short week are coming up north, who are also a younger team. I think they're even maybe younger than the Jets. If you win those two games in 4 days, you silence anything that anyone has to say. It's a big win for the organization. It's just, if you are just 9-7, was it? It would be 9-6, and you have 10 days to go to Seattle, have your little mini bye. I think that's where I think the Jets were going to be. That's where I expect them to be. And I think they'll be 10-7, 10-6. Yeah, basically going down to Miami. So I feel good about them. I really don't. I'm not really panicking about Detroit. I think they match up well with them. I think the run defense is, if it was last year with how leaky they were, I'd be a lot more worried. But this defense has shown that you should expect them to dominate Jared Goff on their home turf. You should give them the respect. They earned it.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the discourse around this team today. And I know these type of things tend to happen. You know, at this point in the year, coming off a loss, all these things are true. But man, I just for the Jets to be not only underdogs at home, but you know, a team that people are just think is going to get, you know, potentially rocked this week. You know, I'm not there yet. Do you think Miami makes the playoffs is the question? Because I think that's more of a question mark than people are letting it on.
So I still lean yes, just so in the fact that, like, I don't know what the Ravens are going to do. I don't know how much they could fall off, because I know Miami has the tiebreaker over Baltimore if they fall out. It really feels like Cincinnati is just going to win out the way they've been looking. I really feel like they're the best AFC team. Like, they're really starting to get there. So I think they're going to win their division and knock Baltimore out of it. But I would still lean, I think they're going to do it. But they have a really tough schedule, because the Packers, while are underwhelming for what they are, they're going to beat the Rams on Monday. And then if they can theoretically win out, they probably can sneak into that 7 seed just based how the NFC is looking. Like, their season isn't over. Rodgers isn't getting shut down. Like, that's not going to be Jordan Love in that game. And I think you've seen it, like, how the last two games, the corners just press Waddle and Smith. Oh, sorry, Waddle and Hill on the, you know, on the line of scrimmage, and they're making Tua throw against man, throw deep down the field, and he's just not the same quarterback. Like, McDaniel's a smart guy. I think he's going to have, like, a changeup and have, like, try to counter to this. It's more just, can Tua execute it? I don't really know. I think Buffalo's going to boat race them on Saturday. I just think Buffalo is mad about that loss. I think that's their building. I know Miami, a lot of people crowned them early because they started 3-0 before Tua got hurt. I know Buffalo thinks that team is a little soft, and it's a Florida team going up north into the cold weather. I think it's supposed to snow on Saturday. So I would lean, I think Miami still gets it, but it wouldn't surprise me at all, especially if Tua looks like he did the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, no.
They may have played if he looks like that.
Yeah, no. People are going to take away the middle of the field and get physical. No better. No corners get more physical than Jets. So we saw the game plan last night from Brandon Staley. Meegs, obviously appreciate you, you always hopping on. Everyone, make sure you're following Meegs on Twitter. Draft season stuff, you know, pretty much every Friday, you know, up now until the draft. And, I'll be back later in the week with, you know, one, maybe a surprise fourth pod this week, depending upon some guest lineups. But, enjoy the last two episodes, and we'll talk to you guys later this week.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.